Hello, hello, hello. I miss us. My goodness gracious. This is like the longest fast ever. This is worse than fasting food. Fasting hugs, it should be illegal. And in fact, I'm through fasting hugs. So if that bothers you, stay away from me because I will grab you and hug you. So all of our online family, I know we've got folks gathering in homes right now all over the Reading area, which is just the coolest thing ever. So glad to hear that. And then our international community, we're just glad to be able to call you friends, glad to be able to call you family. I know that when there's like a pandemic, I mean, it's serious, it's a real disease, and I don't want to ever make light of that, but I do try to find things to laugh at in the middle of everything. And so if that is annoying to you, plug your ears, do something, go la 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 while I read to you a few funny things. Chris put this on his, I'll blame him, he put this on his Instagram page. I used to spin the toilet paper roll like I was on the Wheel of Fortune. Now I turn it like I'm cracking a safe. That's a good word right there. Yes, it is. I think the coronavirus is turning me into a dog. I'm roaming around the house all day looking for food, told no every time I get too close to a stranger, and I get really excited about going for car rides. Oh, goodness. I love this one, too. I ate 11 times today and took 5 naps, and it's still today. Okay. Thoughts and prayers go out to all the married men who spent months telling their wives, I'll do that when I have time. All right, let's get started. How are we doing for time? We're doing good. I want you to open your Bibles, please, to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. It's a very familiar passage, which I'm thankful for. There are just some portions of Scripture that should stand out more than others because there seem to be things that the Lord is really breathing on. And I feel it so strong on this passage right now in ways that really hard for me to describe. I've been looking forward to today. It's been an unusually busy season for us as a staff. You would think with this slowdown, there would actually be a slowdown, but I didn't notice it if it came. It went past me. It's been an unusually busy time, but thankfully, Benny and I were able to take some vacation time this month, and that was just real wonderful. The letdown, of course, is not being with you, but we did have some wonderful time to rest and just enjoy being home. So we're glad for that. For the last several weeks, I don't know exactly how long, but for the last at least 2 weeks, maybe 3 or 4, I've been waking up morning after morning, often, not every morning, but morning after morning, sometimes in the middle of the night, quoting this verse. You know, sometimes you find divine moments because you're saying something that you didn't come from here. It wasn't a premeditated statement. It was just something that came up from here, just that volcanic eruption. And I have been finding this happen to me over and over again in recent weeks. And it's this passage, 2 Chronicles 7:14. We'll read the whole verse, and then I'm going to take you through it. We're going to talk about it. Verse 14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Let's read it again. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. For probably 40 years or so of my life, this has been a standout passage. I remember as a young man attending conferences at Jack Hayford's church in Van Nuys, California. I remember one in particular where the entire event was about prayer and intercession. And speakers would speak, and oftentimes this passage would be used as a real driving force to bring healing to the land, to bring healing to 100 plus nations represented by our viewing audience, but specifically for the state of California, for the nation, United States, that we bear a responsibility for. And it's not only in the heart of God, it's in the history of God to bring healing when there has been great devastation, when there's been great disaster, morally, naturally, natural disasters, that sort of thing, wars, whatever. The Lord has a habit of bringing healing and bringing restoration and doing a work that only he could do. And but it is instigated by the people that he shared his name with. See, it says, if my people, it's funny to me sometimes that as Christians, we get angry for unbelievers acting like unbelievers. And I'm not sure where to go with that, but just I'll leave that where it is. The Lord puts the weight of responsibility for transformation on the shoulder of his own people. He didn't say, when the nations turn to me. He didn't say, when those who are struggle with addictions, when they get free. He didn't say, when the marriages are healed. He didn't say any of that stuff. He just said, if my people, the ones that I gave my name to, think about that for a minute. The ones I gave my name to. It's extraordinary because Jesus said, he said, you will ask the Father in my name. You're going to use my name. You'll ask the Father in my name, and anything you ask for will be done for you. Then he says, wherever two or three of you are gathered in my name, I'm there in the midst. Then he says, wherever two or three of you agree as to touching anything in my name, it shall be done for you. So the weight of responsibility for transformational expressions of God rests on the shoulders of those to whom he has given his name. I'm giving you a name, now use it to bring change. I've given you my name. One of the most beautiful things that has happened in this strange season, these 4 months, has been we've been reduced to our point of strength, which is the two or three gathering in his name, as many of you are doing in homes. The family unit, the two or three gathered in his name. The government of heaven rests upon the shoulders of the two or three gathered in his name. There's responsibility. We are not here taking up space, keeping busy until we die or Jesus returns. We are here with a transformational assignment on earth as it is in heaven. And please notice that that expression is linked to a prayer that we pray because we've been given his name. If my people who are called by my name, I believe that the most important ministry of all ministries is prayer. Worship and prayer is the premier assignment that we've been given. I'm personally thankful that in recent weeks, the Lord's been refreshing me in what used to be a much greater strength than it has been in the busyness of recent years. No excuse whatsoever. But there is a strength being restored to my own soul. The place of prayer. It's from our knees that we have the greatest effect on the world around us. It's from our knees. It's from our place of prayer, of intercession, that we become actual partners with God. God's not looking for people who know how to stay busy. He's looking for people who know how to represent his heart. And I'm not going to represent in action what I've not found in prayer. It's the connection with the heart of God that gives me the authority to represent him with absolute confidence in action. Prayer without action is incomplete. In the same way that faith without works is dead. We've been called to a lifestyle of prayer, and I hope and pray that everyone listening, everybody who is here, can feel that particular stream deepening in your own soul. As I believe the Lord is trying to get us to repent our way back into a place of righteous influence that God has called us to, and that is from the place of prayer. He says, if my people, the ones I gave my name to, will humble themselves. Chris, one of the first words we had in the beginning of this unusual season, Chris brought, and he made a statement, I think it was something like this, the way forward. Humility is the way forward. Humility is the way forward. Perfect and timely word. Humility is the way forward. At a time when it's easy to be hurt and offended and angry and zealous and withdraw and do all the stupid things that we as humans know how to do, humility is the way forward. And so the Lord said, if my people, the ones that I gave my name to, those are the ones who have actual responsibility. I think it was John Wesley who said that God does nothing in the affairs of man except in response to prayer. That's something that I have actually believed and tried to live aware of, is that statement for the last 40-some years, is that God looks for partnership. Without him, we can't. Without us, he won't, is another statement that I've heard through the years. Without him, we can't. Without us, he won't. And so that place of prayer is a place of coming into a place of agreement with the heart and the mind of God to exercise his authority in the earth so that his will is done here as it is in heaven. There is the prayer, there it is the contract, the request that is made. Ed Sove also made a statement a couple weeks ago that it really moved me. He said something like this, the key to answers to prayer, he says 98% of answers to prayer is from abiding in Christ. It's living in the conscious presence of the Almighty God. That is the strength of the answers to prayer. It's the two or three gathered in my name, I'm there. So the whole issue of the breakthroughs in the earth come out of living in that awareness of the presence of God with me and upon me to make a difference in the world around me. That is the connection for answers to prayer. And so he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. It's foolish to be given such a transformational tool such as prayer and not use it. It's foolish to face an impossible situation. Everybody knows how to lift up a panic prayer. I'm not opposed to that. I'm glad he sometimes answers those. But transformational praying is more like giving birth. Paul actually talked about that. He used the concept of giving birth to illustrate prayer. He was referring to one of his associates, and he said, he is praying, he is laboring in prayer, the word labor, as physical labor of a woman, laboring in prayer until Christ is formed in you, was the phrase he used. It's a different kind of a praying. It's digging in. I know the heart of God. I know the will of God. And I know there's opposition. I don't know necessarily what the problem is. I just know I have nothing better to do with my life than to abide in him until the presence of God, his own faith, becomes my faith. And I learn in prayer to petition God, but also to represent him as I make decrees to standing opposition. I understand something like 25-26% of Christians vote. That's insane. The moral cesspool that has grown in many of the nations of the world watching this broadcast, that moral cesspool has developed and grown on our watch. And the lamest excuse invented by the devil himself is that I only have one vote, my vote doesn't really matter. The devil made that one up to disengage the most powerful, influential people on the planet. Because there's no such thing as an act of obedience that is powerless. There's no such thing. I don't care if you're taking a sandwich out of your grocery store to the homeless man in front of the store. It is an act of obedience that releases presence and power. I don't care if it's the phone call to your neighbor that you haven't seen and you heard that they were sick and you're finding out what's happening. Every act of obedience of a believer releases presence and power. The glory becomes manifest in the atmosphere of obedience, the simplest act of physical obedience. And the thought that I could do something responsible for my nation and vote for my city and to be powerless is an absolute insult to the power of the gospel that he has given us. His name, he's given us his name. A single act of obedience to the Lord. Just do your best. Pray, vote values, not personalities, and let's see if we can make a difference. I know he's not talking about voting in here, but I am. It's honestly our responsibility is to pray. You know, there's a lot of people moan and groan. They call it intercession. But do nothing outside of that to make a difference in their own culture. And we've been called to make a difference. It's our responsibility to make a difference. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, the face of God is what we are invited to pursue. Think about that for a minute. Because the scripture gives that warning, anyone who sees his face dies. So it's a great invitation. Come and die. And I tell you what, every time we come before the face of the Lord, something dies that shouldn't have been alive. The Lord invites us into this ongoing interaction with the countenance of a perfect Father. So when he says, seek my face, he's not saying seek my hand. I have tried to make a strong point for the last probably 20 years that Jesus never scolded anyone for seeking his hand. Blind Bartimaeus wanted to see. Jesus didn't say, oh, you're supposed to seek to know me. He gave him healing in his eyes. You know, the one with the dead relative. Jesus brought through his hands the power of God to establish kingdom. He's never scolded anyone for seeking his hand, his blessing. I think it's a responsibility we have. But forgiveness doesn't come from his hand. It comes from his face. It's from the countenance. It's the Father who welcomes. And that's what's needed right now, is a group of people that get recalibrated to the face. Somehow, seeing the eyes of a loving Father recalibrates every value in my soul. Things that were important 10 minutes ago are no longer important. Things that plagued me or worried me or frustrated me, suddenly they don't have the bite that they once had. Why? Because there's something about the countenance that just absorbs every offense or distraction that I carry in my heart. It just gets absorbed in this face of a loving Father. And he says, if my people, the ones I gave my name to, if they would just humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. There is a picture given, Old and New Testament, that to seek the face of God automatically implies turning from something. I must turn from the inferior to seek the face of God. You can't drag both values into one act. He is the all or nothing God. He is the, he likes being first and king. I mean, that's him. Everything is about putting him first. So here he says, seek my face, turn from your wicked ways. In Hebrews 6, it says, turning from dead works, faith towards God. It's this turning from unto. And one of the things that I'm so thankful for about the Lord is he welcomes us into his presence regardless of the condition of our heart. You can be bitter, you can be mad, you can be indifferent, you can be, you know, careless. It doesn't matter where you're at, he says, come. But you can't leave the same way you came. That's the whole deal. You can't expect, I'm going to bring all this baggage and I'm going to come in and then I'm going to leave the same way. That's not how it works. We come in before him and we just get refined in the journey. That's part of the whole process, is that I come to seek his face and things get recalibrated in this journey. It may be a 5-minute journey. It may be an all day long journey, but it's this journey where I engage once again to the face of God that reveals the heart of God, that automatically engages me into my reason for being. He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek the countenance of this wonderful Father. I've been reading the last couple of days, again, Psalm 67, which is personally a favorite of mine. And verse 1 and 2 of that great psalm. Verse 1 says, Lord, bless me, which I love that prayer. I'm into that kind of praying anytime. Bless me and cause your countenance to shine upon me. Countenance is a word for favor. It's the loving favor of a father. It's the Brian and Jen just adopted another little boy. And we got to have him at our home again last night, and it's just you don't have, you know, a parent will make faces to an infant that they would never even make in the mirror to themselves while they were alone. I mean, you say things, you make noises, you do all kinds of stuff to this little tiny infant that you don't even know you're doing. It just seems to come out of you as you. And I've been told that children are actually, infants are trained in a lifestyle of joy through the countenance of their caregiver. And so it's that face. And so here we are. We seek the face of the Almighty God, this perfect Father who welcomes us. We come with baggage. We leave clean and powerful. We come with issues. We leave confident. He is settling the issues. And he says, you seek my face. You turn from your wicked ways. Then I will hear. That's an amazing statement, because the Bible tells us he doesn't always hear. I don't know if you know that or not, but the Bible says, Scripture says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. If I come conscious of sin and I'm unwilling to repent. So here he welcomes us. He says, turn from your wicked way, seek my face. Then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin. This is amazing to me. Forgive their sin, personal blessing, and heal their land, corporate influence. The personal breakthrough becomes a transformational influence in the land. Sometimes I think people avoid times of prayer because they think it will take hours. And, you know, sometimes I've been in moments of prayer where you just lose track of time. Those are glorious, glorious moments. But history has been shaped by people who prayed simple prayers, but they were all in. All in. The history of our nation, we're celebrating Independence weekend. History of our nation has been shaped by the prayers of a general in an army where it looked like they would certainly lose. And they just took the knee and they prayed a simple prayer and everything changed. Simple prayer. A president, a governor, different ones who just simply take the knee and pray, acknowledge the Almighty God. This is something that we have the privilege of doing throughout the day. It's not just the 2-hour block of time. It's the 5 minutes of surrender here. It's the 10 minutes of praise and exalting him there. It's that riddled throughout my day. I never want to escape the fact I carry his name and I carry it for a reason. I'm here to make a difference. And in the abiding presence of God, I've been finding that the prayer meeting never stops. It never stops. It started while I was sleeping. I found myself praying. If my people who are called by my name, I would wake up praying that prayer. I'd get up in the morning. I would grab my Bible, sit out on my deck. It would continue. It would continue throughout the day. It doesn't stop because the abiding presence of the Almighty God is upon me as a testimony to me that you're here, son, to make a difference. Learn to pray out of abiding. Learn to pray out of the presence. Learn to touch, to tap into the heart of God. Express that in prayer and decree, and let's do what we're supposed to do. Make a difference in the earth. This is what we are assigned to do. This is who we are. We're people that have been given his name. This will seem very elementary to you, as it is. But this next statement is one that I think is forgotten often. And it's this. We battle not against flesh and blood. We battle not against flesh and blood. That's not our problem. And to fight effectively in the war we were born into requires a strength that is found only on our knees. It's only on our knees. I'm going to assume that you've been experiencing this as I have. I would have been embarrassed to admit it, but it feels like more and more I am being delivered from the prayer life that wants to convince God of doing what I want him to do. I never would have thought that it would ever be a desire of mine, but I can tell sometimes that the frustration in prayer comes from that. And the whole issue about effective prayer is it begins in surrender. It's not that great things aren't supposed to happen. We're designed to make a difference in the course of history. We're shaped for that. I made a statement here some years ago that you can't find your significance until you have found your insignificance. And sometimes it's just that place of going low and surrender where you are not confident of your strength. I don't need self-confidence. I need God confidence. And I don't want to, you know, I don't want to speak bad about being self-confident, but I've had it. It's disappointing. It's disappointing. Self-confidence is no greater than self. And it's very unimpressive. Prayer is engaging with the unlimited strength and the unlimited heart of compassion of a perfect father. It's that countenance of a father that says, son, now pray this, now do this, now call this person, now give this away, now do that. It's that it comes out of this, the countenance of a father who can guide you with his eyes. He looks at you in a certain way and you just know this is not my responsibility. It's the abandonment to the heart of God. It's the abandonment to the will of God. Then suddenly we find ourselves praying simplest prayers that move heaven and earth because they come out of abiding. They come out of surrender. They come out of the acknowledgement that God is with me. God is with me. Not just as a theological statement. I sense the might, the beauty, the wonder of the Almighty God who is now resting upon me because he has assigned me to do something. I remind you, Jesus stood in Luke 4 before he had done any miracles. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And then he declared why. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And then he announced why. It wasn't arrogance. See, in abiding presence, there is courage to declare truth, regardless of what it sounds like to somebody else. It's not permission to be offensive. It's just the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me to open the eyes of the blind, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And he had not done any of those things. I'd like to suggest to you that in that abiding presence comes the God confidence we were all designed for. The God confidence that can look at a situation and say, no, that will not be happening on my shift. No, that will not be happening. That disease? No. We draw the line. No further. No. The destruction of that family line? No. That ends today. It's not a careless prayer. It's something that comes from the abiding presence of digging your heels in saying, I know the heart of God. I know the mind of God. And I know why I am here. I am here with a purpose. And it is to bring an end to that. That will no longer happen. I want you to stand, if you would. I'm going to wrap this up. I know I've got more time left, but I'm going to end it in a moment anyway. All of you that are at home, you can stand if you want. Those of you in your car, like I said it earlier, don't stand. If you're in your car, don't stand, please. I was about to say, I feel like commissioning for prayer taking place, but it's different than a commissioning. It's an invitation. It's a summons. It's a summons. Come into the courts of the King. I gave you my name for a reason. Come into the courts of the King. Learn to recognize my countenance. Pick up my heartbeat, because it's in that abiding partnership my purposes are accomplished in the earth. Father, I pray that you would increase that global sense of summons, the summoning from a perfect Father to come and to pray and to make a difference in the earth. I'm asking for everybody in this room, everybody watching online, give us the grace for this season. To not fight against flesh and blood. To not mistake people for the enemy. Give us the redemptive touch. The eyes of a perfect Father, the loving heart of a Father. Help us to represent you well. I want to end with this. I know that anytime we have as many people as we have gathered on Bethel TV, YouTube, the various formats, there's always a high probability that there are people watching that don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. You don't know what it is to truly be forgiven by God and welcomed into his family. I want to say, this is your moment. Now is the moment. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no other name. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Wherever you are, in fact, if you're watching on Bethel TV or YouTube, any of those formats, please, you can write right now on your comment and get the help of a pastor, one of our team that will pray with you. I pray for that right now, that there will be transformation of people's lives all over the world through this beautiful and wonderful gospel. Yeah. Amen. Now, how many of you say amen to the invitation to not fight with flesh and blood, but instead abide and see answers? Amen? Amen, amen. Amen. All right. Bless you. Thank you.